Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you. Look out, it's only films to be buried with. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, a marker, and I love films. As Albert Camus once said, seeking what is true is not seeking what is desirable. You may wish to believe that Grease 2 is rubbish, but it's not. It's really a magical work of absolute magic, and you're a fool to sleep on it. Wow, hardcore words from Albert Camus there. Don't disagree. Every week, I invite a special guest over. I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Mark Frost, Barry Jenkins, Sharon Stone, and even... But this week, it's the wonderful comedian Fortune Feimster. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you'll get an extra 20 minutes of stuff with Fortune. She tells a secret. We talk about the best beginnings and endings. You also get the whole episode uncut and ad-free and as a video. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. So Fortune Feimster is a fucking brilliant stand-up. We became friends in LA when we did some gigs together. She's so funny. She's so brilliant. She does a podcast called Handsome with Tignataro and Mae Martin. She is in FUBAR with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She's on tour at the minute. She's an absolute delight. We recorded this on Zoom a few weeks ago, and I really think you're going to love it. So that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 278 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an actor, a podcaster, a writer, a producer, a creator, a superstar, a legend, one of the finest stand-ups to have ever stood up and walked about the stage occasionally whilst holding a mic, a lover, a pacifist, a best friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Mavis, and Tig, and myself included. Yes. She's here, she's there, and she's also here. Please welcome to the show. I can't believe we've got her. It's Fortune Feimster!
What's up, Brett? I mean, I was most excited for this intro, and you did not fail me. That was pretty amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. You're easy to do a long intro for. How's it going, Fortune?
It's going good. I am in between cities. I was just on the road for 2 weeks and I'm about to go back.
Is your current tour, new show, brand new, half ready, all ready? Where are you at with it?
I'm about halfway through this tour. It's new as far as it's not from my last special. Okay. I'll be filming this one in like 4 months, 5 months.
I'm also on tour, Fortune. Tell me a secret. How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it fresh?
Ah, Brett, you know, that's the tricky part because it's a lot of repetition. I kind of challenge myself with every show to be like, okay, what new punchline can I add? I'm also throwing in some crowd work in between some of the jokes to keep myself on my toes and to make it more fun for me. So that helps with the material not feeling so repetitive.
Yeah. All right. I see that.
Did that help?
That does help, yeah.
Because you're on the road. You're killing it out there. Everybody's I gotta see Brett. He's so funny and sexy, and I want him to yell at me. Yeah, that's the thing. You have this. You're in many things, but your character that people know you from recently is such a curmudgeon, and you're so delightful.
I appreciate that, Fortune. Really, me being delightful is the acting. The rest of it is.
The rest of it is true to form.
Yeah.
I was so happy when I met you. I don't remember. It might have been at the Largo we met.
I believe it was, yeah.
But you are someone I really love, and you're even better in person.
Fortune, I feel the same about you. I think you're wonderful. Now, tell me, are you sick of talking about your show, friendship, love affair with your boyfriend Arnold Schwarzenegger? Or is this a...
No, I'm happy to talk about it.
One of my favorite things is just Arnie posting about you is one of my favorite things.
Isn't that wild? I mean...
I love it.
I never thought in a million years that would be the case. Like, he and I come from very different backgrounds. We're very different people. He does. And he's great. I mean, we really hit it off. We were in this show called FUBAR together on Netflix. It's this big action comedy series. And I certainly didn't expect to ever get cast in an action series. That was way down on my list of things I thought someone would think of me for. But it's actually one of the coolest things I've done. It was this huge, big budget, lots of explosions.
Did you do stunts yourself?
I ran towards a bar. Okay. And then they yelled cut. Someone else jumped over it. But I ran, Brett.
That's the hard bit.
The jumping bit's easy. I did do some army crawling.
Okay.
Alongside Arnold with explosions. Their form of explosions going off over our head. I did shoot the weapons myself. But as far as if anything required going off the ground, that's where I tapped out.
Anything above half a foot, you were I'm out. Is it your choice, or was there anything they would have let you do? I'm sure you're not allowed to.
I didn't get a choice. They were just like, there's a very fit woman with a pillow in her belly and a crazy wig. Goes, I'll take it from here.
You take a seat. Did you want to do any?
I'm like, no one will know. Why am I going to put myself in danger? I'm a comedian who's trying to be an action star. But yeah, I hit it off with Arnold like day one because I didn't realize he was such a comedy fan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was very good friends with Milton Berle. And so he used to go to the Friars Club a lot and got tips for his own comedies from Milton. And he just really loved that form, that art form. So day one, he was asking me about stand-up and my process and writing.
Has he come to see you live? Has he come to see you live?
No, there hasn't been an opportunity since we finished filming. I'll have a show in LA in March. Maybe he'll come to that. Or I'm going to do one in Toronto when we go back to film season two in May. Maybe he'll come to that one. We'll see. Amazing. Hey, Arnie, what you doing, bud? He is one of the busiest guys I've ever known. I mean, he still lives his life kind of like the governor. He's always going to events and always volunteering, and he still works out every day. And
did you work out with him?
I did.
Yeah, how was that?
Look at these
guys. Yeah, I can see. Fucking hell, Fortune.
I went to the famous Gold's Gym in Venice Beach with him, where he's like a legend. And you should see the men. I mean, he goes all the time, so they're used to it. But there are occasional few newbies there.
Yeah.
And it's like every man, it just stops and like gasps, like, Arnold, And it's pretty funny to see the effect he has on men.
Wow.
But, you know, he does the heavy reps. And then I went after him and he would take the pen. I mean, not that I can do anything what he does. I mean, come on. But he would go to like a 15. I was like, okay, give me, I can get more than a 15 pounds.
I can do a 20. I can do a 16.
Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, Arnold. But, you know, he's like, it's all in the form. Come on, Fortune. Get it. Go down. You got it. Let's go. But I will say this about him, because obviously he's very into fitness. He's very health conscious. He's never once made me feel like, because I always be like, oh, I got to work out. I'm so fat. He has never made me like feel fat or gross. He makes me always, he's like a person that makes everybody feel very good. He's like a motivational guide. He's never like, hey, yeah, you need to get rid of that. You gotta, don't do that. You know, he's just like, you're great. You're beautiful. Keep doing it. Whatever you want.
I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
Other question for you about touring. I did ask you briefly. How do you maintain a marriage when you are touring all the time? Any secrets? Not that I'm married. Just for the listener who might be married. But how do you maintain a marriage when you're touring comic?
I mean, I think it really depends on who you're married to. That is a big part of the puzzle. Because,
it's not like, one size fits all. Okay, interesting. You're saying, so hang on, you're saying people are different.
I mean, you know.
Okay, that's a hot take.
To an extent. Go on. I am very lucky that I'm married to someone who really understands that this is my love, this is my passion. She knows I'm a workhorse. I love to work. I get a lot of joy out of working. So she's never trying to dim that light. Obviously, there are times when, you know, she's like, okay, can we not have a show on my birthday this year? And I'm like, that's fair. or like, can we take a vacation that doesn't include, you know, a theater somewhere? Fair enough. So, you know, it helps when they communicate their needs and you listen, which, you know, it took me doing three years of shows on her birthday to be like, oh, yeah, don't do a show on your birthday. so I'm not like perfect.
Can you enjoy a holiday, a proper holiday with no gigs? Or just do you go insane?
It's hard. I go in my head. I'm like, I could have done the show here, and that would have been great to check off another market, made a little few bucks, made people laugh. You know, what are we doing here? This is a wasted trip.
What are we doing on this beautiful Caribbean island? Surely they need comedy here.
Surely they need to laugh. Yeah, it's hard. But you have to just go, all right, I need to chill. Because your brain does need to rest. Your body needs a minute. It is good for you to have a step away from it for a second to be able to not burn out.
Hard though, isn't it?
You take, because you're going on the road pretty hard right now. Do you take a minute or are you just like full steam ahead?
I'm bad at time off. I did a film and I'd done all this. I'd been working like insane, nonstop. And then I had one day off and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the day off and I'm going to rest and I'm going to do this. I nearly had a nervous breakdown that day off. I lost my fucking mind. I was like, this is bad. This is bad. Yeah. I was like staring at the ceiling like, this ain't right.
I know.
I have to work on this.
Yeah, well, I was like that too. And now that there's another person in my life that I need to be aware of, I'm like, all right, let's go act like a human being.
Yeah. Go and pretend you're a person.
A proper dinner or something like that.
Fine, we'll use cutlery. Fine.
Yeah, for sure. And my wife calls me the hardest working, laziest person she knows because I'm like always working. And then when I, like on a Sunday, when I fly back in, I'm just like on the couch, like don't, do not disturb. She's like, you could put your dishes in the sink. What? I'm sleeping.
No. You know how hard I've been working. I can't put dishes away.
My hands hurt from holding a microphone.
You know the bit where you have to screw the mic stand together? My hands have blisters.
Owie. I can't wash plates.
I need my precious hand.
Yeah, I'm glad you get it.
Oh, I get it. Fortunately, I've forgotten to tell you something, though. And it's quite bad that I haven't told you this.
Oh, no.
I feel like a dummy for not having said it earlier. And mm-hmm. I guess I should just come out and say it. I'm so sorry. I'll just say it. I'll say it. You've died.
No.
You're dead.
So I'm a ghost.
Yeah, in a way.
I'm a ghost.
How did you die? How did you die?
Well, it was pretty tragic because it was way before my time.
Yeah,
it was not as young as like the legendary rock stars that die at 27. This was more of like her hair's turning gray. She's not old, but she's not young. And there's still some good years ahead of her.
Uh-huh.
She was grilling outside.
How old were you?
Oh, she was like 40. Yeah, we'll say 40.
That still seems tragically young.
That's young, right? She was grilling outside. That's a pretty fun activity. You know you're going to get a treat. Even though you're having to make it. It's better when someone else does it. But my wife
was outside.
Like fire. Nagging
That's
me.
Fire.
Like, can you please do something? I go, fine. My hands hurt. But okay, I'll go grill. Even though
this
right hand is not great, and making burgers and you know, have the little pokey thing that you use on a grill to like
thing.
For hot dogs and stuff. You poke,
Yeah,
I'm poking a hot dog and my hand cramped, Brett, and I go ow, and I stabbed myself.
You stabbed yourself.
Yeah,
oh, God.
And as I'm dying. I'm like, I told you I shouldn't be doing things in the house when I'm home from break. And my wife was like, really? Those are your last words?
Fuck.
And then I go, oh, you're right. I love you as well. So I did that out. I did get that out before I died.
And you were like, I shouldn't have said the as well. It was two words too many. It would have been perfect.
It was like, I love you. It would have been. And she's like, as well.
Okay. As well as telling me so as you stabbed yourself.
She's like, is this really the moment you need to tell me that I was wrong?
I told you so,
God,
that's a complicated death. And then I imagine you sort of collapsed onto the grill. So then there was like burning flesh.
I seared my cheek.
Yeah.
But I was alive for that.
God, quite traumatic for your wife.
Yeah. She didn't love that. It was right on there was a pineapple. On the grill, and it kind of ruined her meal. She didn't eat anything.
She didn't even eat any of it.
She didn't eat any of it. Which I was like, so then I died in vain.
Right,
you didn't even enjoy a nice dinner. So.
God, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. Do you worry about death?
I try not to think of it too much, but it does creep in a little bit more than I expected the older I get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that I have like, things in my life that mean a lot to me.
Like your grill. Wife.
Yeah, my grill, my wife, my dog.
The pokey thing for the grill.
My dog that's right here asleep. I want to be around for these guys. I mean, he might not be around as long as us.
Why? What are you planning to do?
We don't need to tell him that. I'm not planning to do anything.
Jesus. He's not going to be around much longer.
He's going out of that grill. The grill of death.
What do you think happens when you die?
I mean, I was raised in the South, so the church was a part of my life. I'm not a church gal by any means, nor do I consider myself religious. I'm definitely more on the spiritual side. Mm-hmm. So I think the optimist in me hopes that there is some sort of afterlife, that we don't just turn to dust.
Yeah.
And I also was very close with my grandmother. So I have this like hope that one day I get to see her again. So even if that's all rubbish, it makes you feel good to feel like that there's something good at the end of all this, maybe.
Guess what? It's not rubbish. It's true. It's all true. Oh, there good. Is a heaven. And good. You're welcome. They're so happy to see you, even though their nickname for you is Dog Killer. They love you.
Oh, no.
They love you up there nonetheless.
I don't want to get anywhere near a grill when I have my dog with me.
They've made that a rule. And heaven, it's filled with your favorite thing. What's your favorite thing?
Oh, food.
Okay. food everywhere. It's like
hamburgers,
a food court.
Pad Thai, all the bad stuff. All the stuff that in this life makes you fat. You can eat as much as you want of it up there because you're already dead.
That does sound like heaven.
So it's enjoy fucking great. It. Yeah.
It's a food court. None of it's bad for you. It's fucking delicious. And they're very excited to see you. They're so excited, Fortune. They're such big fans.
I love the idea that heaven is a food court in the mall.
You've made it, bud. But it's the same lighting, really bright. Really bright.
Like,
whoa. Whoa. And it's like round the world dishes in a circle.
Panda Express is up there. Sbarro.
But it's good for you. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, like it's what are they going to do? Kill me? I'm in heaven.
But they want to talk about your life, Fortune. They want to talk about your life through film. The first thing they ask you is, what's the first film you remember seeing, Fortune Feimster?
My first film, I always watched the movies that I wasn't supposed to watch. Like, my parents didn't really track it. Like, they were kind of like, yeah, like, whatever, just watch a movie. I don't know why this isn't the first movie I ever saw, but it's the one that stuck with me, was Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, great. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think it stuck with me because the beautiful woman in the film had this very specific bathing suit. She was like gathering water and it was very high-waisted. You didn't see those kind of bathing suits back then. And the little gay in me that didn't know I was a little gay was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah.
So I clocked that movie pretty early on.
I remember that bathing suit. I think that's the only thing I remember from that film.
I mean, right?
That and the knife. But
the knife.
I believe that Crocodile Dundee married bathing suit.
Really?
In real life. I believe so. I hope I'm right on that.
Oh my God. Lucky guy. I hope so. Because she was beautiful. I rooted for them.
Yeah.
In the movie.
It's a happy ending. And in real life.
I wish I could say that. I don't know. I wanted to have like a better film for you. Like something that was very elevated, you know.
No, I'd much rather your answer is some woman's bikini in a sexist Australian film.
Thank you. I'm here to please.
I much prefer that.
I really don't remember. Oh, I know another movie that made an impact on me. The Sound of Music. It was a musical movie.
Speaking of sexy movies,
Come on now. I watched that over and over and over and again, and I memorized all the songs and would sing them all the time around the house. I always fast forwarded it through the part where she, because the movie was in two parts. It came back and she was at like the monastery or whatever. I was like, this is boring. Let's get through this. Yeah. Let's get to the good stuff. And when I lived in Europe for a year and I went to Austria and I was 22 at the time, I went on a Sound of Music tour by myself with a bunch of like six strangers. They were all like 75 years old. I'm 22. And we're in a van driving through the countryside of Austria with like, there's a sad sort of clinging in the clock and the hall and the bells and the steeple too. And I'm like singing along and the hills are alive. And we went to all...
You've got a beautiful voice.
Well, thanks, Brett. I went all to the Sound of Music and we went to all the spots. And we ate apple strudel. And one of the old couples felt bad for me because I was alone. I'm like, who's this youngster with no friends? And asked if I wanted to eat apple strudel with them. So it was very impactful movie. I did. I ate apple strudel with them.
Did they then invite you into a thruple with them?
And then we had a key party. We definitely threw down.
It was a very formative time.
It was. They showed me the ways. They were older and experienced. I was young. impressionable.
Well, you know, far be it for me to say, but that's Europe for you, isn't it?
That is Europe. You guys want to come back to my hostel?
Everywhere you go. You can't turn without being offered a thruple in Europe.
Yeah.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hello, my neighbor Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva. I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans, yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work.
Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you. What is the film that made you cry the most? Do you like crying? Are you a crier?
Oh, yeah. I'm like a crier, like not just, I'm not a person that's like known for like, oh, you know, Fortune, she cries. Like, I'm not that kind of crier. But I am a Cancer, so I am sensitive.
You too.
You are? That's why. That's why we're simpatica. Because you got that soul that us Cancers have. I remember bawling watching Finding Neverland.
Oh,
do you ever see that?
Yeah, with Kate Winslet and Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I sobbed during that. I sobbed during the movie Getting in Cars with Boys.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore movie.
Drew Barrymore.
Because my mom and I at the time were having a complicated thing, and that whole movie was about that. So Finding Neverland was because she died in cancer, and then Getting in Cars with Boys was a complicated mother-daughter relationship. So I was just like, this is hitting too close to home.
You were used to getting in cars with old couples. It wasn't completely relatable, but there were elements of it.
I went to the movie thinking it was going to be a fun movie. And then I was like, oh, this is a real downer. You know where I cry the most? I know. I think this might be an altitude thing, but on planes. If I watch a movie that's somewhat sad, I will sob on a plane, like snots going down my face. It's very embarrassing.
I'm the same. Planes are killer. I don't know why it is. I'll cry at anything on a plane. My question about Finding Neverland that I never understood, I've only seen it once, but I was confused by the ending because basically Kate Winslet dies, right? And Johnny Depp says to her kids, she's in Neverland now. And if you ever want to see her, just go to Neverland. And I'm like, has he just said, kill yourselves if you want to see your...
I never thought about that.
Yeah. What was the message here?
I don't know. Was he trying to say in your imagination that Neverland's in your imagination?
No, I think he was saying...
It's a real place.
That's what he was saying.
You're going to have to Yeah, never. I didn't pick up on that. I was too busy sobbing. I feel like there was another movie. There was another movie about someone dying of cancer. Steel Magnolias.
Oh, hello, Steel Magnolias.
For a Southern gal like me, that was our That was our movie. And she's
that was your cry bible.
It should have been me. You know, it's Sally Field. It should have been me. And she's like, and her friends are just like crying, and they're holding their like Kleenex in their hand, like those Southern women do, the snotty Kleenex. And oh, that one got me. Nobody wants to see Julie Roberts die.
No, literally, no one wants to see that. Mm-hmm. Too pretty to die.
Mm-hmm.
What about scared? What's the film that scared you the most? Do you like being scared? Do you like being scared? Do you like being scared? Answer any of those three.
I don't love being scared. I'm not a big scary movie gal, for sure. I was terrified watching Jaws. I mean, I don't think I've been in the ocean since.
Oh, wow.
I like put my little toes in the water and then I'm good. Jaws scared the crap out of me because I felt like that was a real thing that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And The Wizard of Oz scared me pretty early on. I had nightmares as a kid, as like a big witch was coming over the banister and to get me. And never wanted a two-story house after that.
And ever since then, we've lived in bungalows.
We're more of a ranch gal. I'm a ranch gal now.
What's a film that you love? It is not critically acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't like it, but you love it unconditionally.
I mean, I feel like the ones I... Finding Neverland and all those stuff can already go into that category. Comedies are never critically acclaimed, which I think is wild.
True.
They're always like, this was too silly for my taste. Like, I love Zoolander, you know, and they're like, this
had too many jokes.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. And I'm like crying laughing in the movie theater watching Zoolander because it's so stupid.
Oh, it's funny.
That I can't imagine that Zoolander was critically acclaimed, was it?
I think it was pretty well received, but you're right. Comedies never get five stars.
Yeah, but I thought that... I like dumb movies like that, like super silly, Anchorman, those kind of things. These broad characters that are ridiculous.
We've talked about this on the podcast before, but my question to you is, where have all the big, broad character films gone? And are you going to save cinema?
I mean, Brett, I am trying so hard. I have been writing movies for the last like 6 years.
Yeah.
I have four. I mean, I'm biased, but I have three or four that I think. I see some of the garbage that gets made and I go, I've got four movies here that would blow that out of the water if somebody would just let me make them. And I have one that's on the like 5-yard line right now. That me and my very dear friend Jillian Bell are trying to get off the ground. And it is a big, broad comedy, super funny. And I know people would enjoy it if we can get it made. So fingers crossed.
Okay.
I don't know why. I feel like not enough of comedians in my generation have been allowed to break out in movies.
Yeah.
They kind of keep going back to the same like four people. Four to eight people for every movie comedy that's allowed to get made. And you go, let's let some people in our group break out in the movie world. But, you know, comedies in general aren't getting made as much as they used to. So that's part of it.
You're going to save cinema. I believe in you. Well done, by the way. Well done in advance.
Thank you.
What is the film that you used to love? You loved it, but you don't love it no more.
Oh God, that could be so. That could be so many movies that I'm sure don't hold up. I'm not one that really goes back to movies and watches them for a second time. So I'm sure there are plenty in that category, but I haven't watched them. I mean, this is gonna sound bad because it's such a beloved movie. But I went back and watched Caddyshack, and I was like, this is. I don't love this as much as I remember.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I don't know if that's dated. Just me. Yeah.
I don't think that's you. I think most 80s comedies have issues now. I think you can pick pretty a large number of comedies for the 80s and watch them and go, oh dear.
Well, they were allowed to make such crazy movies, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, wait, you have a crazy, you have a broad idea? No, thanks.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is special, but the mm-hmm. experience you had around seeing it will always make it meaningful to you. Fortune Pimpster, go, please.
I really loved, and maybe this again is my Southern influence, the movie Fried Green Tomatoes.
Love that film.
I love that film because I think that seeing two strong female characters like have this like special relationship, even though the book, there's like more lesbian undertones there. They didn't really hit that over the head in this film, but I just love that friendship. You didn't get to see, but that Beaches is another one. I was always just like a big fan of like strong female leads exploring a friendship, that friendship going through different challenges and coming back around being there for each other. Like always just pulled at my heartstrings. I think I sobbed watching Beaches.
Oh, Beaches is a killer. Beaches is meant to kill you though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beaches is a precision tooled killing machine.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you got, did you ever know that you're my hero? And you're like, oh my God.
This is my revelation today.
I wish I could be. And I can fly higher than an eagle. Because you are the wind beneath my wings. You're like, oh my God. Can you imagine being the wind beneath someone's wings?
Can you imagine having that much wind?
That is
that
deep.
That is so much wind.
That's deep. So yeah, that one got me. Those two movies, very influential.
Great.
Didn't know I was a lesbian, but those planted some seeds. For sure.
I didn't know you could sing until today, Fortune, and it sort of changed everything. And now I'm like, when you save cinema, I hope it's in a musical.
I hope so. First off, I got to get cast in a movie for longer than 8 minutes.
Okay, then, yeah, sure.
And then after that, let's have some singing.
Yeah. What if it's 25 minutes and 21 minutes is you doing 7 songs?
Sign me up.
Okay, great.
Different genres and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm often cast as the person that comes in and is like ridiculous for like 2 scenes. And they're like, that was amazing. That was the funniest thing we've ever seen. And then I'm like, can I be a bigger part next time? And they're like, we'll see.
That was amazing. That was the best thing we've ever seen. You need to go home now. Please. Please stop coming back to set.
You did what we hired you to do. Please. Step away from craft services. You're done. All right. Well, I got more where that came from.
We are well aware you have more where that came from. Please leave the set. We are trying to film. What is the film you most relate to?
Rudy.
Who are you in Rudy?
I'm Rudy.
You're
now,
Rudy.
I didn't play on a football team.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't relate to it in that way. But I do feel like for a lot of my life, I was the underdog. I was like that person that will like try really hard. Like I'm going to work harder than everybody. But then, you know, would like kind of fall short because I wasn't like the prettiest or the skinniest or wasn't the like this or that. And I worked so hard for that thing. And then finally, I don't remember when it was. There was a time. Sometime I think in like 9th or 10th grade, early high school, I sort of finally broke that barrier where I was always like so close to getting something and wouldn't. And then all these people started to clock that like, oh, this Fortune's working really hard. And, you know, I started to get some traction. And then the older I got, like I started having these victorious moments, but it took a lot of, you know, working really hard and getting told no and not getting the thing you really wanted to eventually get the victory. So it was a different, I saw myself okay. as a Rudy-like figure in that, like, you know.
Yeah, you're a sports movie.
Yeah. But I didn't play football.
No. But you know what you did do? You made people happy. People laughed. They cried. They said, sing louder.
They figuratively really took their jersey and put it on the desk and said, we're not playing unless Fortune's playing.
I love it. Here we go, Fortune. This is what people really are here for.
Okay.
What's the sexiest film you've ever seen? And was it Crocodile Dundee?
That was pretty sexy. I'm going to say something that's not going to be your typical sexy movie. No one else is going to find this sexy whatsoever. Because when you think of sexy movie, you think of what's the movie with Denise Richards and
Wild Things?
Nev. Yeah. Like you think of things like that.
Wild Things.
Yeah. You're like that. Yeah. You came to that really fast. You're like my favorite movie. I thought this was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen because I was so drawn to this person. There's a movie called While You Were Sleeping. Mm-hmm. Not a sexy movie by any means. Sandra Bullock is the star of it. She's not a sexy character. She was such a quintessential girl next door peak Sandra Bullock rom-com. Mm. So cute. So adorable. I thought it was the sexiest thing I'd ever seen. And I didn't know, again, I was gay, but that I had a mad crush after that movie.
Were you like, I'd pretend to be in a coma to be with her?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, bud. I was like, why can't I be in that hospital bed and wake up? And it's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm your wife. I'm like, great. Sounds good. Sign me up. No questions asked. You're not trying to remember how did this happen. You just go, yeah, this is it.
There's a subcategory to this question. Mm-hmm. Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. A film you found arousing that you weren't sure you should.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
I got this. Now, this movie aroused a lot of people. And you wouldn't have thought it'd arouse a gal like me. Are you ready for this, Brett? Hold on to your pantaloons. Magic Mike.
The obvious answer.
I'm telling you, all the straight ladies in the theater were screaming and it was like girls going wild. They were losing their minds over all this gyrating. And I went with my straight friends thinking this is for them. I'm just going to go for the popcorn. And I was like, whew. I was like fanning myself. Like my collar's tight. Channing Tatum's dry humping everything. And I was into it. Matthew McConaughey's in his little chaps and everybody's just dancing and gyrating. And I was like, I shouldn't be feeling the way I'm feeling, but I'm really into this.
That is why Mike is magic. That's amazing.
Yeah. He turned the lesbian.
I know a lot of straight men who feel the same way about Magic Mike.
Is that how you felt when you watched
They went for the girls in the audience and they stayed for the dry humping men.
Yeah, you're like, look at all the oil on these muscles. Look at those moves. He's got knee pads
these are
on.
Very talented dancers. Very talented. Mm-hmm. Well done on this. Very
who choreographed this? Well done. Yeah, I was like, this movie's not for me, but I'm in.
Mm. It's for everyone. That's a real, what a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real universal film.
Yeah. So now I have a one of my male celebrity crushes now is Channing Tatum because of it.
Respect.
That's me doing his moves.
What is objectively the greatest film of all time?
Oh no, I have
might not be your favorite.
I know,
but it's the greatest.
I don't have elevated taste in movies. Let me preface
of this.
Because I know that other people have really amazing, they're like The Godfather, something like that. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this. This can't come out of my mouth. But I guess the romantic in me just has to say the Titanic. The Titanic. Except I don't like that. I think they made a mistake when they had Kate Winslet floating in the water. They made the board too big because everyone and their mother's like, he could have fit on that board.
Do you want to know my theory of what happened?
What do you think?
He absolutely could have fit on that board. It's very deliberate that the board is big enough for him. Yeah. But he has overpromised on the ship. He has set himself up like, I'm going to be the greatest guy you'll ever know. They have the accident. They're in the water. And he thinks, God, if we make it back to land, there is no way I can live up to the image I've presented here.
Interesting.
I'm going to look like a gentleman and die here. And then she'll always think of me as a hero. But
you know what?
If we make it back to land, I will never be able to live up to the hype.
I can't say you're wrong. You might be onto something. He's like, I can't possibly be this guy. She's very fancy. I'm not going to be able to pay for anything.
It's all well and good on this holiday where she's running away from the horrible man. But we go back to land. What? Where are we? What's she going to stay in a fucking bed and breakfast with me instead of her mansion? What are we going to do?
100%.
What, she's going to be happy just fucking, go to poker games with me and shit. She's a lady.
She would dump him 2 months into being on land.
And you know how she's going to remember him? If he dies here while she's on a door.
Man, that movie was great as far as the romance and that story and rooting for two people. But, I'm not into horror movies, but one of the other best movies of all time that always sticks with me would probably be Silence of the Lambs.
It's a fucking great film. That is.
Yeah.
That is a great film.
That one, how do you forget? Hello, Clarice. Come on. Put the lotion in the basket. Any movie that you can just quote. Great movie.
Psychopaths from. What is the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
The movie I've watched the most would be The Sound of Music. And that one was on repeat for so many years of my life. Comedy-wise, though, Bridesmaids.
The best.
I have watched that movie more times than I can count. It makes me laugh every time. I always find new jokes every time I watch the movie. Mm. And I worked with Kristen and Annie, who wrote that movie. And they also, I did a small part in this movie, Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yeah, which I was going to say is the only film I can think of in the last many years that is big, broad characters, funny, silly swings.
It got, it was unfortunate timing of the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was literally just a month from coming out when the world shut down. And I think it didn't get its due because of that. I think had it gone to theaters, I think it would have done really, really well. But it reminds me of, they wrote Bridesmaids and they wrote Barb and Star. Both remind me of each other in that every time you watch them, you find something new. And there's so many jokes on jokes on jokes that you don't see that very much in movies these days. But they were they're so good about writing and so meticulous about jokes that they really take a lot of time with those scripts. Bridesmaids is I like it. I love it because I love seeing all those friends work together. Again, another female cast of really strong, funny women. And it's real. It's relatable. There's so many women who've been in that situation.
It's phenomenal, that film. On the other end of the scale, and we don't like to be horrible, so do this quickly. What's the worst film you've ever seen?
Oh my God, the worst film, hands down, I've ever seen is the most ridiculous movie that I don't know how it got greenlit. We've watched it many times as well because it's so bad. The movie Tiptoes. Have you ever heard
of this? Oh my God,
you've
seen Tiptoes. I have not seen it. I've watched the trailer. I've read essays about it. I am vaguely obsessed with it and I'm not sure I could make it through the film. Tell the listener who doesn't know.
It is so bad. It's Gary Oldman and he's playing a little person. This was decades ago, so it could never, ever get made in any stretch of the imagination any time of recent times. They put shoes on. They make him do the whole movie on his knees.
But he's playing it like he's going to win an Oscar, right? It's not a joke.
Fully committed to this character as him playing a little person, shoes are on his knees. Matthew McConaughey's in it. I think Kate Beckinsale. I mean, these actors weren't unknown when this happened. They were like early on.
I think it was later than that. Wasn't it after he won an Oscar? No, something like that. It's like mad timing.
None of the plot makes sense. You're like, who's that person? I've watched it with friends where we're screaming, laughing and crying, going, what is this? What is that? Who's this? I don't know what happened, how this movie got made, but it is the most bonkers movie that I can think of that is so bad.
I might have to watch it.
Have to watch it just to see, like, but watch it with friends too, though. Because it is a pretty, like, wow. You'll all be pointing out different insane things.
Yeah. Yes. The trailer alone is like, starts and you're like, oh, it's a rom-com. Oh, there's Gary Oldman with shoes on his knees. Oh, it's a drama. What the hell is going on?
And then it's a love story. I don't know. Oh, it's bad.
Anyway. You're in comedy. You're very funny. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
It would be a tie between Bridesmaids and Anchorman. Those were pretty high up on the list for me. I'm trying to think if there's an even older one. What about you? Do you have a movie that's made you laugh the most? I'm just curious.
You're not allowed to ask me. I can't answer these questions.
I know, but as a fellow comedian, I didn't know if you had like one coveted funny movie that you think of.
God, I don't know. Because sometimes I think it's different. Like, as in there are comedy films that I think are like amazing.
Yeah.
But did I laugh the most at them? Maybe not. You know, like something like, I don't know, Life of Brian, I think is so amazing. Such a brilliant film. But am I laughing that much?
Right.
Probably not. You know what I mean?
I see you watching a movie going,
Yeah. like a Hollywood exec. That's funny. That's cute.
Funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
40-year-old virgin, that was pretty funny.
You know, the jerk when back in the day.
Yeah.
With two brains.
Yeah.
Any of that business.
You know, an old school funny movie that is ridiculous, but that I was like really obsessed with growing up was Billy Madison.
Oh, great.
I watched that movie all the time. Always was like, you know, reciting like bits from the movie for my friends. I just opened for Sandler a couple of weeks ago and I told him.
Oh, and it's big arena tour. How was it?
Yeah, it was amazing. So fun. Yeah. He's the nicest guy. And I was like, this is such a trip. I said, I memorized your first album and would try to make people laugh by doing your bits when I was in eighth grade.
What did he say?
He thought it was so cute and funny. He was like, oh my God, we started singing Lunch Lady Land together backstage. It was pretty great. But Billy Madison was, I would be like, chlorophyll, more like borophyll. Or be like, I like shampoo. Shampoo's better. No, conditioner's better. You know, it was just such a dumb, silly movie that it stuck with me for so long.
I'm very excited for you saving cinema. Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen. Hello, my neighbour Maureen. What's this I hear about you getting a promotion at the office? Didn't you just get promoted last month? It's all thanks to Canva.
I've been nailing every meeting with AI-powered Canva presentations. Isn't that Canva's AI slide generator where you just describe your presentation in a few words and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds? That's right. And to top it off, I use Magic Write, Canva's AI text generator, to perfect my points. Sounds brilliant, Maureen. No more copying and pasting from other programs. No more app switching. Can Canva Docs with Magic Write generate any text you want for work? Yes. Sales proposals, marketing plans, yeah. Meeting agendas, ratings of all 12 Muppet movies using the extensive point system that I developed at age 12. Anyone can save time with Canva's AI-powered tools. Generate your draft fast with Canva Docs at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Fortune?
Mm-hmm.
You've been wonderful. You've been wonderful, as expected. However,
okay,
when you were home from touring for a day,
yeah,
and you'd made quite a big deal of having a day off, and you kept saying to your wife, "I'm having a day off. Are you happy? It's your birthday. Are you happy?
Are you happy?"
She said, "Yeah, I wish you didn't have to keep sort of saying it in an aggressive way. I wish you were happy." "No, I'm really happy. It's great. It's great to have a day off." And then your wife said, "Do you want to work the grill?" And you were like, "My stand-up hands.
Yeah.
My poor stand-up hands. I got a day off." And she said, "Come on, you can hold a pointy thing." And you're like, "Oh, okay." "It's like a mic," she says. So you put some things on the grill, a couple of steaks, some chicken breasts, and you're sticking the pokey thing in. And you, because your hand cramps from the thing, you turn it and you stab yourself.
Yeah.
With the pointy thing.
Yeah.
And your wife comes rushing over and you go, "I told you I shouldn't be working on my day off."
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Honey, what do we do?" And you go, "I told you."
Yeah.
And you go, "Hang on, is this the last thing you want to say to me for today?" And you go, "I told you. And oh yeah, I love you as well."
Mm-hmm.
And then you fall face first into the grill. You're... body and face now cooking. Your wife's gone, "Fucking, what a mess." Anyway, she turns down the grill.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead. She takes the steak off and the chicken. She eats them. I'm walking past with a coffin. You know what I'm like. And I'm like, "Hey, Fortune's wife. Is Fortune there?" She goes, "Yeah, I think she's just killed. She's dead on the grill." "What? Oh, no." She goes, "Have you got a coffin on you?" "Oh, yeah, I actually do," as it goes. I come around and says, "Will you help?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Do you have the steak though? It's pretty good. She actually cooked that very well."
Oh,
I said, "Oh,
nice.
Great." So we sit and we have steak together. And I'm like, "The smell, we should probably deal with her now." She's like, "Yeah, now." I go, "Well, it's up to you, but I would recommend it." She goes, "Okay." So when we have to try and get you off the grill, but you are like melded in with half a chicken, some carrots, some aubergines, a cauliflower steak, some meat. So we have to peel you off. I get the knives. We chop you up to try and get you.
Oh, wow.
We put you in this coffin, but there's more of you than I was expecting, what with all the food that's now attached to you.
Yeah.
And the burning and the ash and the coals. And I go, "Look, listen, I've stuffed her in. I put you in. There's no room in this coffin. There's really no room. There's only enough room to slide one DVD into the side for you to take across to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. What film are you taking to show the food in the food court in the sky when it is your movie night, Fortune Feimster, please?"
Well, wow. What a tragic end. But if I'm going to have movie night every night in this food court, I don't want it to be a bummer movie. Titanic's, that's going to get old. There's only so many Celine Dion songs I can listen to. I want to laugh. So I'm going to have to go with my old standby and take Bridesmaids.
People are going to love it. The food is going to love it in the food court, in Around the World Food Court. Fortune, you're wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to tell people to look out for, to listen to, or to watch coming up?
Yes, I would love for people, if you're into stand-up comedy, I'm on the road. I'm going to many cities. I've already been to many cities, but the rest of my tour is on my website. I'm going all over the country. I'm even going to London and Amsterdam over there.
Where are you doing in London?
That is, I'm doing Union Chapel. I don't know when this comes out. It's like the end of January.
Yeah, this will come out in a couple of weeks.
Okay. So yeah, I'm going to be in London at Union Chapel and Amsterdam. I can't pronounce that one, but those are the end of January. tons of shows like DC, Denver. I mean, I'm everywhere. Wisconsin. And you can go to my website, fortunefeature.com, to see if I'm coming to a city near you. And I have a new podcast with Brett's dear friend, Mae Martin, Tig Notaro. It's doing really well, and we have fun and giggle for an hour. So check that out if you like podcasts.
It's called Handsome.
It's called Handsome.
Really bad sales pitch.
I'm so great really at good. Plugging
you,
things.
You work it out. You'll find it somehow. Just and use your intuition.
If you like comedy specials, I have several on Netflix called Good Fortune and Sweet and Salty. So check those out. Yeah.
Fortune, you're a dream. Thank you for doing this.
Brett, you're amazing.
I will see you very soon, I hope.
I hope so. You're one of my favorite people to run into.
God bless you. Same to you. Have a good day. Good night.
Good night.
So that was episode 278. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat, secrets and video with Fortune. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, but write about the film that means the most to you and why. It's a lovely thing to read. My neighbour Maureen loves it, and I really appreciate it. I hope you're all well. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Fortune for giving me her time. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to iHeartMedia and Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lydon for the photography. Come and join me next week for a cracking guest. No spoilers. It's a big one. You're going to love it. So that is it for now. In the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind. Sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbor, Maureen. Yeah, thank you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.